Tonight we're starting a series, a study, on the feasts of the Lord, or the Lord's feasts. I've got a little ring in there. First one. My volume may be a little hot. Testing. A little bit higher. Testing. Somewhere between where I was and there. Okay. God's feasts, the feasts of the Lord, the Lord's feasts. Okay? Now, if you turn that one down, do I get too low on the recording? Okay. Just kind of watch it, and if you're seeing that I'm too low, go ahead and work between the two of them. If you'll notice on the next slide, this is the book that I'm going to be focusing on, and this is Dr. Richard Booker's book on celebrating Jesus and the biblical feasts. Dr. Richard Booker, celebrating Jesus in the biblical feasts. This is not chapter one that we're going to go over tonight, but there's a lot of this front material that we need to go over, and I'm hoping that you get as excited as I do. If you notice what I handed out, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different charts or tables. Each of these have the same things in a different manner, pointing out different things. And I want to show you something of what I saw here tonight in just getting ready to start teaching about the different feasts. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, first of all, starting with verse 6. This is out of the Amplified Classic. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have no delight. Then I said, behold, here I am, coming to do your will, O God, to fulfill what is written of me in the volume of the book. When he said just before, you have neither desired nor have you taken delight in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, all of which are offered according to the law. He then went on to say, behold, here I am, coming to do your will. Thus he does away with and annuls the first former order as a means of expiating sin, so that he might inaugurate and establish the second latter order. And in accordance with this will of God, we have been made holy, consecrated, and sanctified through the offering made once for all, the body of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to understand how these show your master plan, that the word tonight gives us an idea, an understanding, an inkling, the groundwork being laid to understand each of the biblical feasts, but tonight to see a vast overview of your love, your protection, and your blueprint for your word in Jesus' name. We're studying the feasts of the Lord over the coming weeks to understand how these picture Christ, how they picture us, and what is yet to come. Did you know that it pictures you in the feasts? We're going to go over that. We're not going to go that deep into it. I'm going to just brush over the top and drop an egg on that and then come back and we'll see what hatches in future weeks. Okay? So, got your pens and pencils and paper ready. I gave you handouts so you can keep notes. I'm going to go over different scriptures. We're going to use these tables and scriptures, and we're going to kind of try to show you the feasts and what they mean in their entirety. Okay, Leviticus, is that the next one? What slide's next? I moved something around on here. What's the next slide? Oh, I want to go over that first. Okay, in this slide, the left-hand side, this is, if you notice, the top bar says Leviticus 23. You've got this on your handout. On the left side, the column says the feast. The middle column says description, and the right-hand column says the verses, verse or verses. The first feast they're talking about is the Sabbath. because it's ordained of God. So it's in here. Then it shows the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, Day of Atonement, and tabernacles. And you notice all these are talked about in Leviticus chapter 23. So we're going to go there, Leviticus 23. And I'm going to read you these verses so we can have some groundwork here. Starting with verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. God starts off with the Sabbath. That happens every week. Then he goes in verse 5, he says, well, in verse 4 it says, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. So it's commanded that there's an appointed time and that you will do them. Verse 5 says, on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. Then unleavened bread, verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Verse 7, on the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. I'm going to go ahead and read 8. I didn't have it in here. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. This says on the 14th day, then on the 15th day. Passover, then unleavened bread. And it says on the first day, it's talking about the first day of the following week. So you have those 2 days, then you have the Sabbath. Then you have the first day of the week when that one happens. That was first fruits. Let's go to verse 15 through 22. It says, and you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wheat wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be accomplished. So this is telling you that back from that first day after the Sabbath, which was the first fruits, you shall count 7 Sabbaths. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring your dwellings, from your dwellings, 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. Now, if you back up here to verse 6, you had to eat unleavened bread. We'll talk about that. And now you can add leaven to it. And it goes on and says, and you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, 1 bull and 2 rams. They shall be as burnt offerings to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering and 2 male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord. With the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the same day that is a holy convocation to you, you shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Here we go down to verse 24. Verse 24 says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, on the 1st day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing trumpets, a holy convocation. Verse 25, you shall do no customary work on it. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Jump down to verse 27. Also, the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. And then verses 34 through 36 and 39 through 44. Speak to the children of Israel. The 15th day of this month, seventh month, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles. For 7 days, to the Lord. On the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days, you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you should do no customary work on it. And then 39 through 44. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day, there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day, a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day of the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days. In the year, it shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in the booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made your children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So Moses declared to the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. Okay. Interesting things here is all of the feasts are brought together in one chapter. They weren't memorials that God did this and the people decided to go and celebrate and okay, we're going to do this and okay, we're going to go do this because that was a neat thing and here's another neat thing. God instituted them. Now, the Passover had happened many years before because that was when they came out of Egypt. But God instituted all of them in that one chapter. Why? Well, we're going to find out. First of all, it's not happenstance. Second of all, it is a definite, deliberate plan of God. We're going to look at the feasts in relation to the seasons. Oops. If you go to the next slide, I believe it is. There. In this one, you'll notice we're going to go to look at it in relation to the season. First column is the farming season. The Hebrew month. The feast itself, how Jesus prophetically put together and accomplished that feast in his life, how it affects you personally, and then seasonally, how things happened in this earth that relate to that. So that's what that table goes for, and we're going to go through it a little bit here. Like I said, this is going to be a brief look at the feasts and how Jesus fulfilled them. It's a basic look of a few of the feasts that I'm going to give you now. Let's start with Passover. The next slide. Okay. Passover. The word Passover, Pasach, means to pass over, to spread the wings over, to spare, preserve, protecting. The Passover, in ancient times, when they would bless a house, they would perform the sacrifice right outside the house. Some of the blood would be on the doorstep. And if this was the doorstep, they wouldn't trod through the blood. They would jump over. They would pass over so they didn't mar the blood, because the blood was put there in the doorway to offer, to appease the little g gods. It was put there to appease them, to say, we want you in our home. Now, according to this writer that we're studying on, one of the things that he says, and I don't have this in the notes here, so I'm trying to go off of my memory, but one of the things that he said was, God told them at Passover to perform this sacrifice at the threshold of their door, to then apply the blood on the doorposts and the lintel above. Well, they go apply blood. What's going to happen? It's going to drip down across the door. It's going to drip down onto the threshold. And they would do that from the outside. And then they would go in. And so they made sure they didn't touch the doorpost, didn't touch the lintel, and didn't touch the threshold. They would go in and pass over. So that was one part of Pesach. The other part is that with the door covered in that blood as a sacrifice to God, I don't want to say just to a deity, but to God, what they were saying is, God, enter in to our home. We're inviting you to come into our home. And the visage was that he would come into the home and stand in the doorway, keeping the death angel out. Jesus said, I am the door. Any who comes in through me will come in and out and find pasture. Whose blood was on him when he was on the cross? His own blood was applied to himself as the door. And he's the entrance. No man comes to the Father but by me. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? And that's just Passover. That's just Pesach. You still on that? 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, you must know, recognize, that you were redeemed, ransomed from the useless, fruitless way of living inherited by tradition from your forefathers, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, the Messiah, like that of a sacrificial lamb without blemish or spot. Jesus performed the act of being our Passover lamb and purchased us back with that. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Purge. Clean out the old leaven that you may be fresh, new dough. Still uncontaminated as you are, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with leaven of vice and malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of purity, nobility, honor, and sincerity, and unadulterated truth. See, they had to go through their house and sweep it and clean it and get every bit of leaven out. And what they would do for Passover is they would actually go and symbolically take a little bit of crumbs and sweep them and get them out of the house as part of the Seder. We're getting all the leaven out, because after the Seder meal, they weren't allowed to eat leavened bread for the 7 days. Leaven in the scripture is equated to sin. And so they had to get all the sin out of their life. So that Feast of Unleavened Bread is Jesus, the Passover lamb, died, and then sin is out of our life. Celebrated that sin is out of our life. Isn't that neat? Okay. I remember in your table here where I said we'd also talk about seasonal out here on the side. Okay, unleavened bread. First of all, Jesus fulfilled it prophetically by being buried. Because he became sin for us and he was buried. Sin was gone. The leaven was gone. He said, I'm the bread of life, right? When he was buried, he took our sin with him. He became the unleavened bread because sin didn't stick to him. He was sinless. Now, in our life, for salvation, for Passover, it's new birth. For our life, from unleavened bread, it's to put off the old. Letting the old go away and become new. We do that when we're a new creation in Christ, right? But seasonally, Martin Luther in 1517, he nailed the 95 Theses to the door of Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. The 95 revolutionary opinions that began the Protestant Reformation. There were abuses happening in the church. He nailed those up there to start the, let's purge the leaven out of the church. So Christ did it on the cross. He became the unleavened bread and that was buried and we're to put off our old self. And seasonally in this world, Luther worked to start purging the church. The truth started coming out because that's where the Protestant Reformation, that's where our churches came from, out of the Catholic Church, to be the protesters. That's where Protestant comes from. The protesters against the abuses of the church and to live by faith. Because one of the things he said is the just shall live by faith. I find that in Scripture. Not by indulgences. Not by all of the different things that the church was doing at the time. So, if you see on your timeline, from Passover, Christ being our Passover lamb, and us putting a new birth, and Luther purging the leaven out of the church. And then for first fruits, 1 Corinthians 15:22 through 23, for just as because of their union of nature, in Adam all people die, so also by virtue of their union of nature shall all in Christ be made alive. But each in his own rank and turn, Christ the Messiah is the first fruits. Then those who are Christ's own will be resurrected at his coming. So back to this, you've got first fruits, which happened in the Hebrew month of the 17th through the 18th. When Christ was resurrected, he was the first fruits. He's the firstborn of many brethren, right? We're to put on the new. What happened with the Wesleys in 1738? Do you know who I'm talking about? Charles and John Wesley? Anybody know what church they ended up starting? Congregational and what else? The Wesleyan, the Methodists. Yes, the Methodists came from the Wesleyan, came from that, and then they merged the Congregational and the they came together, and we now have the United Methodist. Charles Wesley was the first of the two to be justified by faith. Him and his brother. They were studying for the ministry. But on May 21st of 1738, he experienced Pentecost. Well, he experienced Pentecost, but also he experienced the new birth, not just the way the church said, but he experienced being saved, just like those 3,000 did. He wrote, after that, 6,000 to 7,000 hymns in the rest of his lifetime. Three days after he was saved, on May 24th, 1738, his brother John, seeking for the grace of God ended in a meeting house on Aldersgate Street in London. He wrote in his journal that now famous account of his conversion. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, There one was reading Luther's preface to the epistle to the Romans about a quarter before nine. While he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. Immediately, he shared the good news with Charles,